If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open to Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 13. We continue our series on Proverbs, Wisdom's Word. I hope it's been good for you. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you are getting wiser each and every Sunday. I hope you are remembering Wisdom's Word, especially as opportunity presents itself each and every day, each and every week in your life to apply Wisdom's Word to maybe what you're going through or what you're dealing with. Once more this morning, we start with man's wisdom. This from Norway. Heroism consists in hanging on 1 minute longer. I like that. To be a hero. What does it take to be a hero? Well, super strength. Have to be able to fly, right? Jump buildings with a single bound faster than a speeding bullet. I don't know how you maybe would define hero. I like the thought of this. But to be a hero, you just have to hang on 1 minute longer. Amen. Be a hero. Hold on. Persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up. Be a hero in your marriage. Hold on. Persevere. Don't quit. Be a hero at the workplace. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be a hero in that you've determined to do, to live life debt-free, to be the best that you can be in this, to learn this new endeavor, whatever it is. Be a hero in that. Just don't quit. Don't give up. Hold on. From Jamaica, we get this proverb. Because its mouth, the fish got caught. Proverbs already has and will have still more to say about being careful with your mouth. It'll get you caught. It'll get you in trouble if you're not. Because of its mouth, the fish got caught. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but the Lord condemns a crafty man. A man cannot be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. A man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animal, but the kindest acts of the wicked are cruel. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The wicked desire the plunder of evil men, but the root of the righteous flourishes. An evil man is trapped by his sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. From the fruit of his lips, a man enjoys good things, but the unfaithful have a craving for violence. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked brings shame and disgrace. Righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. One man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat. The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. He who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. He who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. A poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. The righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. Well, this morning, as usual, just a number of things that I would draw your attention to from Proverbs 12 and Proverbs chapter 13. Some of the key verses, if you will, or again, at least key from my perspective, from your perspective as you filled out those reading sheets a couple of months ago now. First of all, we see it in Proverbs chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. We see it in Proverbs chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, and throughout chapter 12, and throughout chapter 13. We've considered this in Proverbs already. We consider it again today. Be careful how you respond to discipline and correction. Be careful how you respond to instruction and rebuke. Wisdom is found in those who take advice. A wise man listens to advice. Verse 18 and verse 19 of chapter 13. And they're rewarded for that. They're honored for that. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. He who hates correction is stupid. Thus says wisdom. Thus wisdom's word. If you can't stand correction, I can't stand it when that person always trying to correct me, always trying to help me to do better, always trying to help me to live better, always trying to help me to do better in work, do better in marriage, do better in family, do better in the house, do better in my finances. I can't stand that person always trying to give me advice. I'm not going to say it to you this morning. I'm just going to direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1 and see how wisdom calls you if that's the way that you are and do life. Love, discipline. Proverbs chapter 13, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. The Message says it this way: intelligent children listen to their parents. Foolish children do their own thing. Verse 10, pride breeds quarrels. Pride becomes the problem. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'll do it my way. My way will be the right way. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. The Message says it like this. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord, but wise men and women listen to each other's counsel. There's a way that may seem right to us, but if we're wise, we listen to advice related to that way. Even especially, we listen to advice that tells us, even in fact, that our way is not the right way. I know there's a way that seems right to you. You think you should do marriage like this. You think you should do your finances like this. You think you should do life like this. You have your way. The question that wisdom asks of us, how well do you respond to those who come and tell you that your way is the wrong way? How well do you listen in that moment? How well do you respond to that correction? My Bible includes this commentary. At times, we all need loving rebuke and correction. A proud person hates to be corrected, but the humble person will honestly receive loving criticism and profit from it. I was thinking of it in light of verses we've already considered in Proverbs. No wonder pride comes before downfall. The proud can't be corrected. On the wrong path, the proud can't be corrected in it or diverted from it. No wonder then the downfall that comes next for them. In Psalm 25 and verse 8, God is fair and just. Listen to what God does. He corrects the misdirected and sends them in the right direction. But the proud reject that. It's interesting, isn't it? It's almost as if there's not a lot of difference between the proud and the humble by way of their mistakes. It doesn't matter if you're proud or humble. There's a good chance you're going to mess things up on occasion. The proud mess things up, but so do the humble. Probably you're going to get on the wrong path. On occasion, you're going to find yourself on the wrong path. The proud sometimes end up on the wrong path, so do the humble. The proud can be misdirected, so do the humble. But the difference is in what? The proud refuse to listen to you or God when you tell them as much. The humble, the wise, they receive the advice. They listen. They're diverted from the disaster. The proud, because they hate to be corrected, they refuse to be corrected, and then they journey unchecked to their demise, to their downfall. How many, let's first start with ourselves, how many remember when we were young? And dad and mom, don't do that. Don't get involved in that. Don't mess with that. But we were the foolish son that wanted to go our own way. We were the foolish daughter that wanted to do our own thing. And we recognized that because we wouldn't listen to that advice, we fell into the category of Proverbs chapter 12 and chapter 13, and we just marched right on to our destruction. And so it is now we know as parents. How many times have we told our children, don't do that. Don't get involved. You need to live life like this. You need to do life like that. And yet they went on their own foolish way, refusing to listen. And we watched as they journeyed themselves to their own destruction and their own demise. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1 from the Message. How short-sighted to refuse correction. The note from my Bible was criticism. A proud person hates to be corrected, but the humble person will honestly receive loving criticism. Be careful how you respond to the criticism one brings to you. By the way, if you're comfortable giving criticism, you're loving this right now. But make sure you stay with us to the end, because before we're done, Proverbs going to have some things to say to you who love to be critical towards others. When you hear that, you might be inclined to curb your enthusiasm a little bit and the giving of criticism. Criticism, though, we don't like it, do we? Somebody comes and tells us that we're not doing that the right way, that we didn't do a good job, that we messed that up. Oh, how often we're inclined to get frustrated, irritated, agitated, downright angry, and respond in a very mean and hostile and even abusive way towards them. Because how dare they criticize me and the work that I've done? How dare they criticize what I've been able to accomplish or what I've been able to do? We don't like it. One tells this story, though. When I was a teenager, family joined our congregation. The wife was quiet, but the husband was loud, critical, and overbearing. I was standing nearby one Sunday morning when he stormed up to the pastor and verbally attacked him for something he had said in the sermon. The man's voice was loud. His tone was disrespectful. Pastor didn't do what I expected, though. He spoke softly, thanked the critic for his insights even, and promised to think through the issue again. Later, I asked my pastor, why didn't he argue right back? He gave me some valuable advice. He said, every piece of criticism can be helpful. God may be in it. And if he is, I need to hear what he's saying. The critic just might be right. The author goes on to include then this commentary. When someone criticizes you, first, don't respond in anger. Anger only accelerates the tension. Second, realize that you've been presented with a golden opportunity to model Christ-like behavior, love, unselfishness, humility, concern for others. You have a chance to be like Jesus in that moment, how you respond to that person who's just criticized you. Third, remember, the critic may be right. You may need to change. And in that, remember then Proverbs, a wise person welcomes the advice to change from the path that they're on. Accept discipline. Listen to advice. I'm going to say it this morning. Receive well the criticism. And give it. Sounds a little odd, doesn't it? Chapter 13 and verse 24, look at it. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. We don't miss, we don't neglect or gloss over the comment. The context is related to family. It is. This is for parenting. This is for mom and dad and with son and daughter. There needs to be discipline in the home. There's a reason you carry the title parent and they don't. You're to provide discipline. In fact, look at it. He who spares the rod, what? Hates his son. Oh, I just love my kid. I just want him to do whatever they want him to do. You're biblically completely wrong. That's absolutely unscriptural. If you love them, you discipline them. If you hate them, what child, what parent hates their child? But if you hate them, then you just let them go undisciplined in life. Don't be afraid to bring discipline into your home. That's the context. We don't miss it. We don't neglect that. But I want to put it in the context of Proverbs chapter 12 and 13 and how we respond to advice, because I think it holds for us as well. Listen to this. Adequate parental discipline administered in a wise, loving, and considerate manner helps children to learn that wrong behavior carries unpleasant consequences and may involve suffering. Such discipline is necessary so that children do not form attitudes that will later bring them to ruin and death. Godly discipline in a family will bring happiness and peace to the home. It must always be administered out of love, just as it is by our Heavenly Father. Let me change the words just a bit. Adequate church discipline, administered in a wise, loving, considerate manner, helps brothers and sisters, the family of God, to learn that wrong behavior carries unpleasant consequences and may involve suffering. Such discipline is necessary so that the brothers and sisters do not form attitudes that will bring them to ruin and death. Godly discipline in a church family will bring happiness and peace to the church home. It must always be administered out of love, just as it is by our Heavenly Father. Enabling is not love, a shrug, a wink at another's error, another's foolishness. That's not love. An ignoring of blatant sin because it's not my business after all. That's not love. You're in the wrong church if you don't think that it's your job as a brother and sister to get up all up in one another's business. That is your divine destiny as a child of God. It's not my business. That's a lie from the devil. It's not my business. It's not your business for a brother to just continue on to sin, their pathway to destruction and hell. It's not your business to jump in there and help a brother and help a sister out. You better believe that it is. To shrug at sin, to wink an eye at sin, to, well, never mind the sin. That's a new believer after all. We'll just let them go. I'm sure eventually they'll get it right. That's not love. Correcting, instructing, teaching, rebuking, that's wisdom. That's real love. I don't want you to feel obligated to go and make something up. But can I ask you, who have you rebuked lately? What? Come on. You can't build a church on a question, who have you rebuked lately? Oh, I'm gonna change it then to make us all happy. Who have you loved on lately? Who have you loved on? I love everybody. So you've rebuked everybody. Hey, great job. Good for you. You've saved a brother. You've instructed. You've corrected. You've brought discipline into a brother and sister's life. Well, do you understand? Isn't it true we live in a culture that's so intimidated by the very words that I've just spoken? Instruction? Rebuke? Correction? No. Criticism? No, no, no. It's a pat on the back or it's nothing. So says our culture today, so does not say the word of God.
Correct.
We love, we correct, we instruct, we help, we discipline, we rebuke. Proverbs chapter 13 from the Message, a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Again, that's true, but we can apply it as well, can't we, in the context of our relationship, our church family, if you will, and how we do life with brothers and sisters. Again, throughout chapter 12 and 13, wisdom is going to reveal to us more the difference between the righteous and the wicked. And we've seen this already. I think wisdom is always asking of us the question, asking us to consider and evaluate. Check the path that you've chosen, the path you're traveling, the path you're living. Is it the righteous one or is it the wicked one? Once more, you come to Proverbs chapter 12 and 13 and you find wisdom asking that question of you and for you. Verse 2, a good man obtains favor from the Lord. I like the Message. A good person basks in the delight of God. A man can't be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. You see the contrast. I came across this. My son Mark and I were digging out the stump of an old tree in the front yard. The tree had only a 5-inch diameter, so we didn't think the task would be difficult. After digging around the stump, cutting through the surface roots, we fastened the nylon tow rope to the back of my truck and pulled. Nothing happened. We dug some more, cut out some more roots, tried again. Still no success. On the third try, the heavy nylon rope broke. Strong, deep roots had anchored that tree firmly in the ground. That's the picture that wisdom presents of the righteous. They will not be uprooted. Joni Erickson Tada wrote in her book, Diamonds in the Dust, the branches of growing trees not only reach higher, but their roots grow deeper. It's impossible for for a strong tree to have high branches without having deep roots. Then the observation, the same is true with Christians. It's impossible for us to grow in the Lord without entwining our roots around His word and deepening our life in His commands. Our roots grow deep in Him, and we in turn grow in Him. We grow higher and stronger in Him and in His righteousness. And according to Proverbs chapter 12, we become immovable and unuprootable. And that's good. Verse 7, wicked men overthrown, the righteous stand firm. Verse 12, the root of the righteous flourishes. Verse 21, no harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their full of trouble. Verse 15 of chapter 13, the way of the unfaithful is hard. Again, so often hear the stories from the men at Teen Challenge, whether it's graduation or class, always hear about their mistakes, their failure, making poor decisions. And at the time, with the in crowd, drinking, partying, doing all the things that they thought would bring to them the greatest success and happiness and joy, only in the end to leave them miserable and their life full of trouble. You know the story to be the same for your own life. You remember your life before Jesus. I'm going my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. The sin is fun. The sin's enjoyable, pleasurable for a season. What you found is that, in fact, wickedness is nothing but a life of trouble for you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28, in the way of righteousness, there's life. The Message puts it this way: good men and women travel right into life. Sin's detours take you straight to hell. In chapter 13, righteousness guards the man of integrity. The light of the righteous, verse 9, shines brightly. Misfortune pursues the sinner. Verse 25, the righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. Just a reminder, our pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom leads us in the way of righteousness. And the righteousness makes us to stand firm. In righteousness, we flourish, free from trouble, filled with life. The way of righteousness protects us, prospers us, grants to us the very favor of God. Wisdom leads to righteousness, which leads to that. So once more, our message title for this series, my encouragement for each and every one of us, get wisdom. Verse 4, a wife of noble character. Again, once more, the message is clear. The comment is clear. The context is clear. We're going to evolve it just a little bit. So many things are temporary. And really, in the end, most insignificant: beauty, job, money, possession, status, all external things, all insignificant things, all the things that the world tells us are most important. What we discover: the world's way is the fool's way. Wisdom instructs us instead to consider the character. It's true in marriage. You want a spouse of good character. We're drawn by other things and in the immediacy of the context. But all of us know it's the character that counts. Talk about one's talent. Talk about one's charisma. Talk about one's wealth. Great, wonderful, all of it. But wisdom asks of you, but what about their character? I want to caution you this morning. That preacher on TV, though I would never mean to be overly judgmental towards Christian TV. Oh, pastor, you should hear them preach. You should hear the things that they have to say. You should see the size of their church. You should hear about the ministry that they're doing. You should hear about the miracles that they've done, that they've accomplished. Let me just caution you. Wisdom asks you to ask this question: but what about their character? And can I tell you the importance of the local church versus the TV church? You don't have an answer. You don't know. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm not saying they all have bad character. But the reality is, you don't know. Isn't it true how often we put on such a high pedestal? We don't even know their character. What have we done? We've turned everything upside down. Oh, but their church is big. Oh, but they preach so good. Oh, but that our program is so wonderful. But wisdom says, what about their character? We don't know. Be careful. I just say it to caution you. Be careful how you elevate. Just this last week, there was news of one dismissed from his church. The accusation was mismanagement. I watched his program. I'll be honest. Full disclosure. I did. When he was on, I would stop and listen. I didn't watch him religiously, but I would watch and listen every now and then. I thought he did well. I thought he preached well. I liked the way that he presented his message. In the end, according to the leadership of the church, dismissed for engaging in conduct contrary, harmful to the best interest of the church. A successful, this was not a moral failure. He was not taking money. This was something else. A successful ministry in the end compromised by a flawed character. Character counts above everything else. Don't get distracted by the sideshow. Don't be deceived into believing that character is anything less. Character is, we could really say, all there is. So though the verse would be applied to marriage, how we find a good spouse, how we make sure we're a good mate, I'm going to ask you to look inward, to look at yourself. How's your character? Wisdom says this: who you are and who you're becoming is more important than anything else. Who you are and who you're becoming is more important than anything else. Have it all. Whatever it is, have it all. Pastor, let me tell you about the new job. Let me tell you about the promotion. Let me tell you about this that I've got. Let me tell you about the new car. Let me tell you about this that I've learned. Wonderful, 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 all of it. But wisdom reminds us to ask above it all this question, but how's your character? Isn't it true a flawed character will ruin everything? Let me introduce you, Pastor, to the best spouse in all the world. Yes, but your flawed character, it will ruin that marriage eventually. Pastor, let me tell you about the best job anyone could have in all the world. Yes, but your flawed character is sooner or later going to get you fired from that job. Character counts. Character is the important thing. How's your character this morning? Have it all, but lack character. Yours is the fool's life. Have even nothing but character, a noble character, a character of honesty and integrity and humility. Well, in fact, then you will have everything. Once more, wisdom would have us to consider how we talk again through Proverbs chapter 12 and Proverbs chapter 13. Wisdom's words, your words can save you. Your words can ruin you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6, the words of the wicked lie in wait, but the speech of the upright rescues them. An evil man, verse 13, trapped by a sinful talk, but a righteous escapes trouble. Verse 14, from the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things. Your words can save you. Your words can ruin you. Wisdom's going to especially reveal that truth in two things. First, it's the truth. The truth will save you. The lie will ruin you. The lie will destroy you. Verse 19, truthful lips endure forever. Verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but delights in the men who are truthful. Chapter 13 and verse 5, the righteous hate what is false. Second, it's in the silence. Silence will save you. Talking too much will ruin you. Verse 3 of chapter 13, he who guards his lips guards his life. Verse 16 of chapter 13, a fool exposes his folly. Wisdom's words. Your words don't just save or ruin you. They can save, they can ruin others. Verse 18 of chapter 12, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Verse 25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but kind words cheer him up. The teaching of the wise, verse 14 of chapter 13, is a fountain of life. And verse 17 of 13, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. So this morning, wisdom instructs us. Let me just leave you with these two thoughts. First, speak the truth. God views lies as the unjust weapons of violence. You view them as the same. Speak the truth. God is on the side of virtue and honesty. You be as well. You can know this. God's on your side when you're on the side of virtue and honesty. Proverbs chapter 12 and 22 from the Message. God can't stomach liars, but he loves the company of those who keep their word. Your God is truth. He cannot lie. He hates falsehood. He hates the lie and the lying. You belong to him. Live then in the truth. Don't lie. Hate the false. Speak the truth. When you do that, you declare righteousness. Speak the truth. When you declare that, when you talk that way, you talk God talk. The lie, that's Satan's talk. He's a liar and he is the father of lies. When you lie, you're speaking his words. You're speaking his language. Don't do that. When you speak the truth, you honor God. When you speak the truth, you're building up the new man, crucifying once again the old man, because lying is a part of the old man nature. Henry David Thoreau said this: rather than love, than money, than fame, give me truth. Can you imagine a life? Can you imagine a society? Can you imagine a country where truth was prioritized over all else like that? When you speak the truth, you speak what's best. Truth is essential to all our interactions. In the halls of government, the classroom, the workplace, the home, truth telling builds trust. Truth cannot be refuted. It never grows old. It never has to be retracted. It never fails. It's the language of God. Therefore, there's nothing better for us to do than to tell the truth. A righteous person would rather experience pain by telling the truth than avoid suffering by lying. I like this. One writes, there are many ways of telling a lie. Some people who pride themselves on never speaking a falsehood would be amazed if they would begin to recount the number of lies they sing each Sunday in church. Many years ago, I read an article by an unknown author who wrote, we sing sweet hour of prayer and then content ourselves with 10 or 15 minutes of intercession each day. We sing onward, Christian soldiers, but wait to be dragged and drafted into God's service. We join the song, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. And then we do not use the one tongue we have for his glory. We sing, blessed be the tie that binds. These are good hymns. We ought to sing a few of these. And then let the least little offense sever that precious tie. We sing, serve the Lord with gladness, and then complain constantly about all that we have to do. The author concludes, remember, lies are lies whether we speak them or sing them. Next time you open the hymn book, be sure you mean the words that come out of your mouth. Don't be a singing liar. Be wise. Speak the truth. Sing the truth. And speak the words, the healing words, the life-giving words. Remember, your words can save or ruin not just yourself, but others as well. So be wise. Speak words that heal. Verse 18 of chapter 12, reckless words pierce like a sword. The Message says it this way: rash language cuts and maims, but there's healing in the words of the wise. Don't speak the reckless word, the hurtful word, the rash word that cuts and maims. Speak the healing words. The old playground taunt went like this: sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie. Wisdom says so. Words do hurt. Words produce long-lasting, life-altering hurt. I don't love you. You're a failure. You're no good. You're stupid. You don't belong. You can't do anything right. Hurt. Forget hurt. Words, reckless words, destroy. Don't speak them. Don't say them. Don't be reckless with your talk. Wisdom song goes like this: oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And oh, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Wisdom prayer sounds like David's. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. With the help of grace, we speak words of grace. We make gracious words our habit. We make gracious words to be our default. Look at verse 25 of chapter 12. An anxious heart weighs a man down. But what? A kind word will cheer him up. Don't be weighed down by worry. Don't be weighed down by anxiousness. Be a speaker of encouraging words for those whose heart is anxious. Be a speaker of kind words. Listen, your brother or sister here in the room might have an anxious heart this morning. Have you spoken a kind word to them? You have a chance before you go out the doors this morning to speak a kind word that will bring life to their soul. You have a chance this week to pick up the phone. You have a chance this week to take a little card and to write a kind word, to send a little email, to do it by way of text. I don't care how you do it. It doesn't matter how you do it. But to send a kind word to one whose heart is anxious. Listen, I appreciate that we pray for one another. That's good. That's good. But you know what Proverbs tells us? Anxious heart weighs a man down, but a prayer will cheer him up. Doesn't say that. But thinking about him will cheer him up. Doesn't say that. But a kind word will cheer him up. Speak the kind word. Don't just pray the kind word for your brother, for your sister. Speak the kind word. Verse 14, the teaching of wise, a fountain of life. Verse 17, a wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. We speak healing words. So now, you with the supposed, albeit unscriptural, gift of criticism, be careful with your words. Critics talk too much and do little that's constructive. If your criticism doesn't bring health and healing, keep it to yourself. If your criticism is birthed out of pride or anger, keep it to yourself. If it's birthed out of anything except love and a desire to help the brother or sister, keep it to yourself. Critics are more interested in trying to make themselves look good by making others look bad. Years ago, Theodore Roosevelt noted, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood, and who, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Rather than a critic, you better follow wisdom's way by being an encourager. Be an encourager. Be an encourager to those who need it the most. I like this story. A man was invited to the home of friends. Food was superb, except for the apple pie. Even so, he found something good to say about the pie. Several weeks later, the man's back again for dinner. This time, they had a cherry pie. Come on, Marshall. That was absolutely delicious. But the visitor didn't say one word. This bothered the hostess, so she finally blurted out, "The last time you were here, I served a pie that I was ashamed of, yet you were complimentary. Tonight, I've served what I think is the best pie I've ever made. You haven't said a word." "Why?" The man smiled and replied, "The cherry pie tonight was fantastic, and the apple pie you served last time was not as good as this one." So you see, the apple pie needed more praise. How easy it is for us to encourage those who don't need it as much as others. How hard it can be for us to encourage those who need it the most. Can I just take the example of worship? The one who missed one note doesn't need your encouragement as the one who missed 10 notes. But you'll be less likely to incline the one who missed 10 notes than you'd be inclined to encourage the one who missed one. "He only missed one. I'm going to encourage you. You'll get it. The one who missed 10, brother, give it up." Let me tell you how I would have played that song. Let me tell you how you need to get it together. Do you understand? The one who misses one, the one with the little slip up, doesn't need as much encouragement as the one who made the huge slip up. But isn't it true? Isn't it so easy for us to encourage, to say the kind word in the little than in the big? Be wise. Say only what's true and what heals quickly. Just let me throw these out at you real quick. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 8. A man is praised. Look at it in your Bible. A man is praised according to what? According to his wisdom. His money, his job, his status in society, his popularity, the number of his Facebook friends, the creativity of his tweets. No, no, and still no. A man is praised according to his wisdom. The message says this. A person who talks sense is honored. Airheads are held in contempt. Don't be an airhead. Verse 9. Better to be a nobody and yet have a servant than to pretend. Be content with what you have. Learn the secret of contentment. Be content. Don't pretend. Better to be content with where you are and what you have than to pretend to be what you're not. Or to have what you don't. Verse 10. A righteous man cares for the needs of his animals. Interesting, isn't it? A righteous man cares for the needs of his animals. One says this. With God-given wisdom, Solomon saw that our relationship to our Creator affects not only how we treat people, but also how much thoughtful consideration we give to the creatures in our care. Another says this, the beauty of God's creation should inspire us to take better care of what He's entrusted to us. Listen, I don't care if you vote for this new Green Deal or you don't, but listen to me, Christian. You need to be conscious of this beautiful creation that God has made, and you need to be diligent about taking care of it. Wisdom says so. I don't care, Republican, Democrat. I don't care where it's all headed. I don't care the end of it all. Wisdom says here and now, we take care of God's creation. Be kind to this earth. I'm going to say it. It's not Earth Day. Be kind to this earth and to all its inhabitants. I don't want to detract from the clear message, nor do I want in any way. I don't want to open a can of worms. I don't want to offend anyone in the room related to your animals, your pets, and how you feel about them. Simply put it like this, people are more important than animals, even your animals. And if we're to be kind to them, how much more so kindness to one another? Be kind to people. Be kind to one another. Back to before, speak kind words. In your correction, your rebuke, your criticism, don't forget to be kind. Proverbs chapter 12, he who works his land will have abundant food. Hard work is the way to abundance. Look at, but he who chases after fantasies lacks judgment. We're all about chasing after the easy money, chasing after the easy way, chasing after the easy thing. It's why the lines are backed up. When the lottery gets big, because we're all about chasing fantasies. Listen, whatever, buy the ticket if you want to buy the ticket. But I'm just telling you, when you chase after the fantasy, you're chasing after the fool's way. Listen, I'm just going to say, you're being a moron. Hard work, that's wisdom's way. Proverbs chapter 24, diligent hands will rule. Laziness ends in slave labor. Verse 4 of 13, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are satisfied. A fool, verse 16, shows his annoyance at once. But what? A prudent man overlooks an insult. Can I ask you, how good are you at overlooking the insult? How good are you letting it go? I don't need to respond. I don't need to retaliate. The message says this. Fools have short fuses and explode all too quickly. The prudent quietly shrug off insults. A fool is quick-tempered. A wise man stays cool when insulted. A wise man stays cool. I'm going to tell you right now, it might not apply to all of life. Just a moment ago, I referred to you as a moron. In the car, I'm a moron. I'm a fool. How dare they cut me off? Shrug that off? No way. Here comes the horn. Here comes the zip around and slow down, and it's pray for your pastor. He needs to be delivered. Verse 20, there's deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who do what? Who promote peace. Be a promoter of peace. Verse 26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Verse 20 of chapter 13, here's why. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. This is why you need to be careful with your friends, because as your friends are, so you will be. He who walks with the wise grows wise. Be cautious in friendship. C.S. Lewis said this, the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. It's a Japanese proverb. We should have saved it for another week to start our message. When the character of a man is not clear to you, look at his friends. In life, choose your companions carefully and wisely. Your reputation, your character is at stake. The message says it this way. Become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Finally, verse 23, a poor man's field may produce abundant food, but injustice sweeps it away. I just made note, this verse caught my eye because of the tragedy of injustice. You know, injustice, social justice, it's become a political word today. I just want to caution you, dear believer. There are probably some things that are legitimately political and only political. But there are some things that are in fact not political at all. They're biblical. And being a fighter against injustice. No matter your political party. It doesn't matter how you feel the government's financial status is or should be run. It doesn't matter whether you believe wall or no wall. You can have whatever you can believe. You can draw the line and say that's how I think it should be and want it to be. But in the end, this is a non-negotiable. We are to be fighters against injustice. Wall or no wall? We're to be fighters against injustice. Republican or Democrat as our president, we're to be fighters against injustice. We need to watch for ways that we can do exactly that. You read it. The farmer, he's the poor farmer and he loses it. The message says the banker comes and takes it or the storm destroys it. And what happens? Outside the realm of politics in our nation today and what Fox News says or CNN says, we just read that and what? Our heart breaks for the poor farmer. He lost it all. The banker took it, the storm destroyed it, he lost it all. The poor farmer and his poor family. The injustice is tragic. So we fight against it as we're able to. Can I tell you, there's an injustice being done to the unborn in our nation today. I'm not going to tell you how you need to do it or how you should do it, but I'm going to tell you this morning, you need to be a fighter against the injustice, which is the death of the unborn at the tune of a million plus every year in our country. Be a fighter against injustice. We conclude. First, the questions. What do you see? From the words of wisdom, what's the Spirit speaking to you? Number three, here are my questions. How can you more and better speak the healing words? Last Sunday, related to generosity, you might remember this. I told you the story of the businessman in Ohio who never leaves home without something to give away. It's a pen. It's a little trinket. It's a little bit of money. Every day he walks out of the house with something to give. This morning, can I ask you, can I encourage you, every day leave with healing words that you can speak. Don't put your head to the pillow at night except that you've spoken at least one healing word to somebody. Write that email at 10 o'clock. Send out that text. Oh, I forgot. healing word going to somebody right now, a late night text, a late night email, whatever it happens to be. Don't leave home without a healing word to give to somebody. Don't leave church without a healing word that you've given to somebody. Number four, how can you do better at overlooking the insult, keeping your cool when wrong? People are going to bother you. People are going to offend you. People are going to hurt you. How are you going to do when they do? How are you going to respond? The wise man keeps his cool. The wise man stays cool. Finally, join me in asking God to give us wisdom. Father, we thank you today for your word. And we ask you this morning for wisdom. God, give us wisdom.